Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 31st, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, we continue to have a little bit of pressure on gold, down 210, New York spot at 1309. We have silver is up 5 pennies. At $18.72. Platinum is down 7 at 1,053, and palladium is also down 7 at $674. The USDX today is trading a little bit weaker, 0.05 at 96.01. Crude oil was down 161 at 44.74. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 54 points, 18,399. The NASDAQ is down 9 at 52.13. The S&P was down 5 at 21.70. 10-year yield 1.57%, along with the euro, of course, gained a little bit of strength, 1.12, up 0.12. So, Asian markets, basically most of them were down fractionally. So interesting day, a quiet week in the trading week. Everyone's waiting for the Friday's jobs report. And again, with light trading this week, because of the Labor Day weekend, things are a little quiet. So we'll talk about why it's quiet, why it's eerily quiet. 38 days of near silence for the stocks. A little bit of pressure on gold, but we'll talk about that after the break, because for the first 20 minutes of the program, thereabouts, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about the immune system foes, you know, things out there that can suppress our immune system and make us more vulnerable to catch the winter colds and the flu bugs this coming winter, you know, because people start thinking about immune system more in the fall and winter months because, you know, people just don't want to get sick with the cold or flu. It costs them valuable time from work and school. And in addition to feeling terrible, they don't want to spend the money to get better. So actually, we can minimize our risk of seasonal sickness with, of course, that frequent hand washing we're told to do. But also, if we recognize behaviors that can undermine our immune system and also maybe use the right supplements to help strengthen our immune system. So there's several indicators that can alert us that our immune system is not working efficiently or not at all. Here are some indicators. You have frequent illnesses. You're sick a lot. Your energy level is low most of the time for longer than just a few weeks. Also, if your digestion's a problem, if you have chronic constipation or bowel disease, this also influences immune system. And also respiratory. If you have some very unusual dry nasal passages, because the nasal passages should produce about a cup of mucus a day. It is part of the immune system. And I get calls from people. They call me up and they go, why am I sick so much? I get a lot of frequent calls. And, you know, if you go to your family doctor, they may not be able to answer that question. And how could you expect them to? Because most of the illnesses they see and are diagnosed as viral, and a, quote, virus is really a label that modern medicine uses to describe an unknown pathogen. So if doctors don't know what the disease is, how can they prevent or cure it? And if we have more than 1,500 human viruses, they wouldn't know which one you had without culturing it. So virologists, they estimate there's 20 different viruses for each of the 50,000 vertebrates on this planet. And scientists are going crazy. They're having a field day studying the 320,000 different viruses which infect animals. So this is called a huge pathogen potential, Al, and they want to make new vaccines from this stuff. So the cost of studying just one virus is about $1.2 billion, but the scientific community spends the money and thinks it's well spent. So if you're an adult and you're contracting 2 to 4 colds per year, or you have a child that gets 6 or more colds per year, it is an indicator that you're sick too often and your immune system is underperforming. So we're going to take a look at some of the causes that could undermine or suppress your immune system. So if we pay close attention, we can narrow down what is bothering our immune system and remove that threat. So check to make sure you're hydrating. You're not dehydrated, so you're drinking a lot of clean water throughout the day. Also, constant stress, especially holiday stress, can really undermine immune system, so try to limit your stress exposure. Sugar is huge. People crave sugar. Some people are what we call sugarholics, and this is one of the biggest detrimental foods to the immune system. We'll get into more of that in a minute. Mold, if you have mildew exposure, that can actually exhaust an immune system because it's constantly fighting it. Also, if you have some fat located around the abdomen, it's called visceral fat, and it disrupts the immune system, and we're going to explain a little bit more on that too. Your sleep, make sure you get adequate sleep. And if you have inconsistent sleep, that's a problem. Also, if you smoke, use alcohol frequently on a daily basis, if you're malnourished, if your diet's not real good, if you're inactive, if you don't get daily exercise, and if you have a lot of food allergies, all these things undermine the immune system. So let's real quick touch on the sugar, because sugar's probably the number one thing I see in people that are sick a lot. It's one of the worst saboteurs to the immune system, it's sugar. So if you consume too much of it, you put your immune system into what I call a sugar coma. One candy bar or 3 cans of soda can suppress an immune system function for at least 8 hours. So how does sugar do that? Well, according to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the sugar weakens our white blood cells, which are the immune system's killer cells that fights off the bacteria and viruses. So in the fall and winter, we're full of holiday sugar-laden celebrations. October kicks us off with the cold and flu season because it's the first month to promote excessive sugar consumption with Halloween. November follows with Thanksgiving, December with Christmas. Next is January with New Year's Eve, and lastly February with Valentine's Day. And all of these holidays promote alcohol consumption, which converts to sugar and fat storage in the body. So really, our cold and flu season could not be nearly as bad from October to February if we cut out a lot of the sugar and really limit the alcohol. Any questions?
Well, I'll make a comment. I have been a sugar. I've been a sugarholic, I suppose, for most of my life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can get me to pass up ice cream and pies and the rest of that sort of thing. I've been taking ground up ginger for the past, maybe 4 or 5 months. And I'm down to a point where I don't want any sugar. I was at the grocery store just a couple of days ago, and I saw some pies, and I would usually lust for the pies. They made the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and just, I don't know if ginger is consistent with your experience or not. It's not the only thing I'm taking, but ground up ginger, powdered ginger, destroyed. Yeah. I don't have an appetite for even carbohydrates right now.
Well, that's excellent.
Bread,
ginger
pasta.
Is one of those. Well, ginger is a circulatory herb. It helps circulation get to the smaller capillaries, and it also helps reduce the fat and balance hormones, which we're going to talk about that metabolic fat. The National Institutes of Health did a study in 2009, and they said if we carry too much fat around our abdomen, we create obstacles for the immune system, and we also promote chronic inflammation. It also creates a hormone imbalance, and it makes us more vulnerable to bacterial and viruses. So basically, you're probably adjusting your balance mechanism, your hormones, and your system is just shifting gears on what it's wanting. You're probably burning fat, and you don't need the sugar as an energy boost. That's great.
I'm sure that's happened. It's become ketogenic or whatever. It's amazing to me.
Well, it is. And, you know, people have more power than they think if they just start to look around and use different things. You know, sleep's real important, as we know. It really, the immune system counts on at least 8 hours of sleep. So when the days start getting shorter, people get more prone to the seasonal affective disorder, or it's known as SAD. The reduced sunlight can make them lethargic and reduce their energy. It's messing with their circadian rhythm. And so if you place some full spectrum light bulbs around the home and office, it will brighten the space. It really reflects more normal light, and it lifts your mood. It also promotes that healthy circadian rhythm, and you'll get a better night's sleep. Also get that regular exercise, eat better, limit the caffeine and alcohol, and that also promotes better sleep. Because without 8 hours of sleep per night, your mitochondria of your cells can't regenerate and recharge effectively, and it really hinders your immune system response.
Are you talking about 8 consecutive hours, or are you talking about 4 hours and 4 hours or whatever?
No, uninterrupted sleep is the best kind. Mm-hmm. 8. Yep. Now, medications and some products that can really sabotage our immune system, you probably know of some of them. You've heard that, you know, some drugs suppress immune system function like antibiotics and cancer treatments. However, the corticosteroids, often used by 30 million people that suffer from arthritis or inflammatory conditions, and also the 25 million that suffer from asthma or allergic reactions, are on medications which hinder immune system. Other drugs that suppress immune system are going to be your heartburn, stomach acid, and acid drugs. They do block the stomach acid, and it also blocks the immune system's ability to fight pathogens. So those proton pump inhibitors suppress immune system by 30% to 70%, according to a 2004 JAMA article. That was the Journal of American Medical Association. They did a study on that. Also, your statin cholesterol drugs, a Swedish study says these drugs suppress immune system. Your antidepressants or your SSRI drugs, they promote really an autoimmune system disease and can also attack lung tissues. So long-term use of that is a bad thing. Your painkillers, your Tylenol products, they can damage vital organs like kidneys, but which help actually remove pathogens. So there you get more toxic buildup in the system, and it overloads your immune system. And lastly, this is not a drug, but it can be through the pulmonary air fresheners and perfumes. People plug them in, and these are pulmonary irritants, and they present toxins on a constant basis, promoting a pneumonia condition, and it also overworks and exhausts the immune system. Now, I want to touch real quickly on that mold issue. People are exposed to mold more common than they think. So if anybody has an air conditioner air handler unit in a crawl space under their home, they run the risk of mold and mildew buildup on the fan blades due to the drip, drip, drip in the pans from the condensation from the air conditioner. So what happens is that this mold is on the blades and it's dispersed through the home through the vents. And what most people do to cover up the musty smell, what do they do, Al? Melanie, what do they do?
Melody? Melody doesn't know. Well, I think they're going to use an air freshener.
They're going to plug in the air fresheners, exactly, and just totally, you know, add injury to the immune system there. So symptoms from mold exposure, you can have frequent colds. You can have a drippy nose that doesn't go away. You can have throat infections, low energy. Scientific medicine calls this chronic inflammatory response syndrome. And some of the other symptoms of mold are overall sick feeling and weakness, cognitive problems like memory, concentration issues, headaches, vertigo, muscle aches, muscle cramps, and joint pain, light sensitivity, blurred vision, constant tearing or burning of the eyes, a cough that won't go away, asthma symptoms, sinusitis, abdominal pain, nausea, and even diarrhea. Now, the Federal Facilities Council did a report. It was titled Implementing Health Protective Features and Practices in Buildings. They say 43% of buildings have some form of water damage causing mold or fungi to grow within 24 to 48 hours. And also the World Health Organization says mold sickness is a vicious cycle. Foreign antigens stay in the body, causing immune system to constantly fight back. It causes inflammation and many symptoms. So the only way to do is get a professional company to clean up the mold. And if you can't get it adequately out of the house, then it's time to move. Otherwise, your immune system is going to be under attack constantly. The other thing real quick is food allergies. We have a lot of people with 15 million Americans with food allergies. The big culprits are nuts, shellfish, wheat, dairy, the milk and cheese. People are often allergic to their diets and not know it. So you can do an easy test to see if your immune system is being agitated by these foods. What you do is you eliminate all those foods and for 2 weeks, and then you start adding one back at a time, wait a few days, see if there's any kind of response. And this is an easy, inexpensive, safe way to check to see if you have a sensitivity to that herb or that food, and then you can remove it from the diet, and it'll automatically boost your immune system when you do that. So, and then there's, I know we're running out of time, but there are great herbs that you can use as well to boost an immune system to a normal level, okay? That's what we're working on, is boosting your immune system to normal level and not overstimulate it. And there's herbs for broad spectrum, viral protection, bacterial protection, and then there's more targeted herbs for things like pneumonia. So if anybody's interested, they can get a free catalog from Apothecary Herbs and learn how powerful they can be. Their number's toll-free at 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com is the website, but you can call 866-229-3663. I'm not sure if we're out of time or not, Al.
No, we got about another 60 seconds.
Well, it's just an interesting thing.
You talked about immune system foes, and what you're saying is that the herbs are essentially your friends, or at least many of them are friends to your immune system, and that's a fundamental idea you've been pushing. You know, as long as we've had you on the program, that the herbs can do you some real good, and
Use your echinacea for just when you're sick. But you can use some other herbs like garlic and astragalus pretty much on an even keel, like a multivitamin, that won't overstimulate. But echinacea does such a good job of helping your immune system, making killer T cells. You don't want to overuse that. So thepowerherbs.com, you got a whole line of immune-boosting formulas there.
All right. Why don't you give us contact information one more time, Wendy?
Sure. It's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. We're in the middle of our Labor Day special. You'll save 15% on orders of $50 or more. And new product catalog will be coming out this fall.
All right, Wendy. Thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I just would like to remind the listeners to visit our website at dgscoins.com. You can listen to these programs on the website. Just go to the radio page, and at the top, there is a bar, and when it's red, we are live. And it should be gold. I don't know why they chose red, but, you know, website people, you know, they have their own reasons for everything. But anyway, you can get there and you can listen to our program 5 days a week. And of course, it's also archived. Plus, you can sign up at the mailbox and get yourself our weekly newsletter. So 1-800-375-4188. That's for your gold and silver coins.
Okay. Got an article here from Zero Hedge. .com. Headline is Deutsche Bank calculates how much of the Standard & Poor's value is due to central banks. And they have, it's a fairly complex article, and we're not going to get into all the complexities, but they point out, fundamental point is this, Standard & Poor's is at record highs. But it's no secret that corporate earnings have gone nowhere over the past 2 years and are set to decline now at six for the sixth consecutive quarter. On a generally accepted accounting principle basis, earnings of 2015 were the lowest since 2010. And that means that earnings growth has not been a factor in the stock market's recent ascent to all-time highs. Earnings are not up, and yet stock markets are, which in theory, stock values should be going up because earnings are going up. That would certainly be a primary reason for stock values to go up. Earnings have not gone up. In fact, they've been declining, and yet stock prices have been at least hovering around all-time highs. And so you got to ask yourself what's going on. And they are concluding, Deutsche Bank concludes that much of the Standard & Poor's value is due to central banks. So as the Fed is worried, Deutsche Bank explains, The entire equity rally of the past 4 years has been based on collapse the equity risk premium as a result of plunging bond yields. Why are bond yields plunging? Because the Federal Reserve, in its infinite wisdom, has declared that the interest rate should be near zero. Now, this is according to Deutsche Bank. This is the direct pathway by which central banks operate by monetizing government and now corporate debt. And they're talking about, they're looking at this from not just a perspective here in the United States. They're talking about in general around the world, but the corporate debt being monetized by central banks happening more so in Europe and Japan than in the United States. Goes on, it says the Federal Reserve is worried that once rates go up as a result of renormalization and the lack of a central bank to front run, stocks will crash. Central bank policies are directly responsible. They conclude that central bank policies are directly responsible for approximately 40% of the perceived value in the stock markets. Any moves to undo this support could result in a crash that leaves Standard & Poor's 500 somewhere in the vicinity of 1,400 points. They're anticipating, they're essentially saying, look, we could lose 40%. It's 40% of the market is there by, as a result of Federal Reserve stimulation rather than legitimate market fundamentals. Right, like price-to-earning ratios and earnings in general and so on. And they're just saying, look, you guys are vulnerable. If you want to stick around in a stock market that's artificially maintained, you are taking a certain amount of risk. On the other hand, some people would sit back and say, yeah, but the Federal Reserve, they can't. Nothing can beat the Federal Reserve. You know, they're so strong and powerful that if they're supporting the market, how could you possibly go wrong? Well, I don't think they're all that strong and powerful. They haven't been able to solve the problems that have been on their plate for the past 8 years. It's good evidence, and the word is getting around. More and more people appreciate the fact that the Federal Reserve does not demonstrate the kind of power that they would like us to believe they possess. So if you want to cast your, you want to make your investment based on that artificial bubble, well, you're welcome to it. But if, on the other hand, you wanted to invest in something that was solid and not the result of a bubble, you might want to look at gold or silver.
You know,
what do you think, Melody?
They talk about it dropping 40%. People will be thankful if it only drops 40%. But the market.
Well, that's a fact. They're saying it's 40% that's artificially there. If it starts to drop, it'll drop beyond 40%, at least initially, and it'll fall below that and then perhaps bounce back up.
I saw a chart today that in 15 years, the S&P, I think it was based on the S&P, but the portfolio, the S&P is going to be worth about $4,400. It's going to go from where we are today to $4,400. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, good luck with that.
Well, if they do, the price
they might drop it.
Where? Three times? Five times?
If it's 4,400, then we're having super inflation everywhere, but hyperinflation everywhere. But it has been a quiet summer. The markets are barely budging. The S&P 500 is on track to close on Wednesday today with less than a 1% move in either direction for the 38th consecutive day. That's the longest stretch since 2014. I mean, I don't take a... but it just goes to show you, I believe what we're seeing is really the quiet before the storm. And I think you'll start seeing the storm after the Labor Day weekend. Before last Friday, the S&P made a little bit of history. The benchmark index went 17 straight days of moving less than 0.75%. That hadn't happened. You have to go all the way back to 1970. So, I mean, these are just the little signs that we talk about. Everybody wants to know when, how's it going to happen, when. Well, these are the signs that are telling you that the when is real soon. And it's not, whether some, secret source or private source or something that tells you, or, because the cow jumped over the moon, it's going to happen on, September 31st at 3 o'clock. PM and then again at 8. No, these are the signs that we're experiencing, that we see the quietness in the markets and historic marks. You look at the food stamps, the home ownership, I mean, these are an incredible lows and highs for the food stamps, and there's such extremes that we're seeing in various areas. To me, that tells me that the collapse is close.
I'm inclined. I don't know that it's going to happen after the Labor Day weekend, but
we'll
I'm inclined
cracks.
To say
we'll
that
see bigger cracks.
I'm going to see
we'll
bigger
see volatility
cracks.
Come in. Whether it's
once
the biggie,
we get through with this election,
oh my gosh!
Then I think then, and I'm not suggesting that we're going to see a crash in November or December, but we shouldn't be surprised to see some serious readjustments come first quarter next year. I mean, that's where I'm looking at it. I just can't imagine they're going to keep a lid on this thing until the election, I think. And after that, then who knows what's going to happen, but I can't imagine that it's going to be, you know, cause for celebration. We're not going to say, yay, the Federal Reserve has saved us. No, I don't think so. We'll watch and see, but I don't think that's going to happen. So my point is, from my perspective, there may be 3 to 6 months before we really start to see serious problems that you really might have to be really concerned about.
I'm looking at March of next year. That's where I'm looking at.
Fine with me.
Well, I know it's fine with you, but I have reasons.
I have no complaints. You know how easy I am to get along with Melody.
Oh, yeah. If the listeners only knew.
Yeah.
Hey, Brazil, you know, the Olympics were just there, and today the Senate voted to impeach their president.
Yep.
Ending a very bitter political fight, and the news didn't stop there. They announced today also that the economy's historic recession deepened. The second quarter, Brazil's economy contracted 3.8% after shrinking 5.4% in the first 3 months of the year. And, of course, this is their longest recession since 1930. And, of course, we know Brazil is Latin America's largest economy. But the president was suspended in May after both houses of Congress voted to begin the impeachment trial against her. And so everybody was sort of expecting that this was going to be, you know, a foregone conclusion that she'd be impeached. But she was accused of messing with the fiscal budget to make it look better than it was.
Barack Obama?
I know.
Janet Yellen?
Brazil,
what's her problem anyway?
She was doing this right before the Brazil's elections in 2014. So, hey, wait till the employment numbers come out tomorrow and then we'll...
What she's done is tantamount to Nixon, all right, with Watergate and the rest of that as compared to Hillary. All right? We got bigger. We have much, you know, we're a little more open to this kind of corruption than apparently they are down in Brazil.
You know, a lot of, you know, some of her critics in Congress, they've been accused of more serious crimes, like bribery. And
It doesn't get really serious until someone starts charging people in positions of power with treason.
No, I figured she must have offended somebody. She didn't go along with the program somewhere along the line, and they're booting her out. That's what it is. It isn't,
but
treasonous
still,
or anything
trial,
else. She didn't trial go.
Trial should not be an impeachment. It should be a trial for treason.
She didn't follow the rule book. So
at least that's what we need in this country. Trials for treason. Those of you who are studying to become lawyers, you may want to get a minor in prosecuting or defending treason, because I think it's going to be kind of a growth industry, at least within the legal profession over the course of the next 5 or 10 years. What else do we have, Melody?
Don't think that'll happen. Should. Not to say that I wouldn't support it, but that's not going to happen. But
You got to have a dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
got to have something to look forward to in life. And for me, it's trials for treason.
That would be
that's what puts
I would be right
a
there.
Song in my heart, Melody. I think, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be a wonderful?
I would be right there next to you, but I also realize it won't happen. So
you never know.
But I'll keep my fingers crossed.
All right.
You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. But, hey, Donald Trump went to Mexico today. Not quite sure why.
He's trying to get people to vote for him before they cross over the border. Trying to reach the next wave of illegals and say, you should vote for me.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of move that was. If it was a good move, a bad move, a stupid move.
I don't think it was stupid. I think it was very surprising. We have Trump acting presidential, and he's not even elected yet. He's going off to deal with foreign leaders and apparently being welcomed. All right, it gives him a certain amount of status that Hillary is just sitting back and she doesn't even show up for press conferences.
That's true.
So it's interesting.
I think if he was successful there, you know, then yes, it was a good gamble. I think it was a good gamble. It was,
it has to have blunted some of the criticism in this country. I don't mean that it's going to end it, but it should have blunted some of the criticism coming from the Mexican community in this country who may be critical of Mr. Trump's idea closing the border down. It may have blunted some of that criticism. It may have, I don't know what to say. It looked presidential. I mean, he didn't even meet him on a golf course. You know, it's been, how long has it been since we've seen a president meet people where the meetings didn't take place on golf courses, Weldy? I think it's interesting. It was an interesting tactic, an interesting gamble. Could blow up in his face before it's all over. But for the moment, you know, looks good to me.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And in some respects it's good, and I think in others there's a possibility it might backfire. And you know, did it really accomplish anything? Did it hurt his? Because you know, will it hurt, you know, people that are on the fence, you know, to vote for him? Was that something that will offend them, or will they actually say it was a good deal?
Still on the fence, do they get a voter's registration with their green card?
Perhaps
they're right there on the fence.
Perhaps
Mexico and the United States,
Perhaps.
Okay. Got an article here from the Associated Press. An emotional Bill Clinton eyes possible exit from foundation. When Bill Clinton told the staff of his global charity that he would step down if Hillary Clinton won the White House, he was vividly clear about how that felt. Worse than a root canal, he said. Now, if Hillary wins, Bill apparently is going to have to step down from the Clinton Foundation. His daughter Chelsea will stay there, but Bill will not. All right, or at least that's what he says at the moment. That's if Hillary wins, Clinton will have to step down from running the Clinton Foundation. Of course, if Trump wins, Clinton may have to step down because he's being tried. He may be tried for whatever, and be forced to step down from the from the Clinton Foundation. That's my opinion. That's not the article from the Associated Press, but just a little sidelight. For Clinton, the foundation bears his name and shaped much of his post-White House legacy. Well, boy, I am so impressed by Mr. Clinton's legacy. You know, it was Congressman Dannemeyer back in the, my recollection is correct, back in the 1990s when Clinton was first elected in his first term of office as president. Congressman Dannemeyer calculated that there were 26 people who had been closely associated with Bill Clinton who were dead under violent or mysterious circumstances. I don't know 26 people in my entire life that are dead under violent or mysterious circumstances, and I'm older than Bill Clinton. All right? And since then, the number has gone up. Last time I saw it was like 42, and I've heard, if I recall correctly, stories that it's actually pushing 60 right now, if you count what the people that are associated with Hillary. When we talk about Bill Clinton's post-White House legacy, you know, it's like, it's like Jack the Ripper worried about his legacy. We'll talk more about Mr. Clinton's legacy and his emotional farewell to the foundation in just a couple minutes. Melody and I will take a break. We'll take some commercials, and we'll be back. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, talking about an article from the Associated Press entitled An Emotional Bill Clinton Eyes Possible Exit from This Foundation. And part of the article says, for Clinton, the foundation that bears his name has shaped much of his post-White House legacy. What are you talking about? For God's sake? The man doesn't have a legacy. He has a certain amount of notoriety, a legacy. Is that what Bill Clinton has? Helping transform him from a popular yet scandal-tainted former president into an international philanthropist and humanitarian. Is that what's going on over there? Philanthropy and humanitarian? Or is it a device for laundering money across borders? All right. Is that what the Clinton Foundation is all about? Parents and associates say that while Bill Clinton knows his role in the high-profile charity has to change, settling on how and when he might walk away has been emotional. He's also said to be deeply frustrated with the criticism shadowing his potential exit. And he says, we're trying to do good things. If there's something wrong with creating jobs and saving lives, I don't know what it is. Well, I can tell you a couple things that are wrong with it, all right? If it's an American charity trying to do good things to create jobs and save lives in foreign countries with American taxpayers' money, that would be wrong. If you're taking bribes, if this alleged charity is taking bribes from foreign governments and foreign billionaires to do good things for them, that is to say the foreign governments and the foreign billionaires, at the expense of betraying America's best interests, that would not only be wrong, it would be treasonous. The foundation made some adjustments after Hillary became Secretary of State, but it has still faced numerous questions about how rigorously firewalls were upheld that were meant to separate donors to the charity from her government work. It's raised questions. No, it hasn't. It's raised cover-ups. There aren't any questions on this thing. I mean, they have taken millions of dollars from people and apparently delivered favors. They, under the guise of contributing to their charity, they have accepted millions of dollars while Hillary was in a position to grant favors in the government. You can bet it is almost certain that if Hillary Clinton or anyone else is taking money from foreign sources to cause the United States government to say yes or no on certain projects, you can bet that those foreign sources, whatever they're taking money, if they're trying to help that foreign source, they're not helping the American people. They're not helping you. They're not helping me. And they are quite possibly helping to pass acts, legislation, projects that are arguably treasonous. They're contrary to our best interest, but they're getting paid from foreign sources to do what's right for foreign powers, foreign billionaires, foreign industrialists. And we, the people, maybe get stuck with the bills, but we certainly don't get stuck with the benefits. You know, the article continues, what's left? Oh, here's one. For Trump and other Republicans, the Clintons' overlapping worlds are rife with ethical lapses. This isn't an ethical lapse. This is crime, maybe even treason. When we have, and we're letting them get away with it because, oh, it's a charity. It's a charity, see? This is a device where you can launder vast sums of money across national borders without much accounting. This is a device where Bill Clinton can collect money for the foundation, and he can whisper in Hillary's ear, and Hillary can go help to pass acts, projects that are helpful to foreign contributors rather than helpful to the American people. What else? Talked about his legacy again, and here's Bill Clinton's foundation began largely to support building of his presidential library in Little Rock, Arkansas. As his post-White House ambitions grew, so did the foundation, ballooning to a $2 billion charity focused on global health, climate change, and other international efforts. I just don't get, the guy was president of the United States, his wife was first lady, you would think they would have some sort of affinity for the people of the United States of America. Why doesn't he do his good deeds here in this country? Why is he focusing on global health? Why is he focusing on international efforts? You know, there's an old saying, charity begins at home. Why doesn't the Clinton Foundation focus its efforts here in the United States of America? We have some problems here. There are some people in this country that do need some help. But Bill and Hillary are apparently, they're more concerned with a globalist agenda than they are with a constitutional agenda. Former president has leveraged his contacts to fill the foundation's coffers and traveled the world to meet with people helped by his work. He's traveled the world to take bribes and exorbitant speaking fees that he donates back into that allegedly are donated back into the trust. Well, it goes on and all it's just to me, it's another evidence that we live in a world where the government is largely composed of gangsters and racketeers who are more interested in supporting their racket than they are in helping the American people. The only thing you can expect out of your congressman, your senator, your president is a certain amount of lip service that will perhaps help you to engage in wishful thinking that something wonderful is going to come out of government. But historically, the founding fathers understood that the principal enemy of the people of the United States of America was then and would always be our national government. And it's not just for this country. This is a principle that applies anywhere in the world. It was a principal enemy of the people of Russia when they had the Soviet Union. It was the government of the Soviet Union. What was a principal enemy of the people of Germany when the Nazis were running? It was the government of Germany. Every time a country gets into big trouble, it's because the government has decided to betray the people and support special interests. The founding fathers understood this is a historical reality. It's not a surprise. It's not an indictment. It's not even radical speech. It's not hyperbolic. The reason they gave us separation of powers. Tried to divide the government into the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch, and all three were supposed to be separate. And the idea was that they would fight amongst themselves rather than unite to work against the American people. They gave us elections every 2 years. Why? If you really thought your congressman, your senator, your president were really straight arrows, why bother having an election every 2 years? Why not just elect them for life? They're all honorable men and women. The founders understood, no, they're not. They understood that government attracts people who are of, at best, questionable moral character. Right? They are ambitious, self-serving. That's just the nature of the government. It's the nature of the people that are attracted to government service, particularly at the higher offices. And some people say, well, that's not true. We've got good people that are working at different levels in the government. Yeah, we probably do. But how many are there because they love the work and they love serving the American people? And how many are there because they're making more money than they could ever make if they were working in the private sector? They're doing it for themselves. They're not. This is, where do you find government service? Anybody really serving the people who works for government right now? Serving the people or serving themselves? Where does it go? First Amendment. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. What are freedom of speech and freedom of the press all about? So we can talk about Kim Kardashian? No, they're not. It is intended where if you see the government committing a crime and the founders, they said, it's going to happen. We got to leave the door open where you can print the information. You can publish it by press. You can stand up and speak about it. You can expose government criminality because it's essential to do it in order to try to minimize that criminality. All right? Second Amendment. You know, I've talked about it in the past. The first, the purpose of the whole Bill of Rights, as explained in the preamble to the Bill of Rights, document that's come to be called Preamble to Bill of Rights, was a cover letter drafted by Congress when it sent out the first 13 or 17 amendments that were proposed to the states. And of those 13 or 17, whichever it was, but however many amendments they proposed, the states ratified 10. Those 10 became what we've come to call the Bill of Rights. The cover letter said the purpose of these 10 amendments is to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. And they used the word prevent, misconstruction, abuse of the powers of the Constitution. Who has powers under the Constitution? I don't. Most of you don't. The only people that have powers under the Constitution are the federal government. Its officers, agents, employees, they have powers under the Constitution. I don't. I may have some rights under the Constitution, but I don't have any powers because I don't occupy an office. As an employee, as an officer. And what they're saying, the whole 10 amendments, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights was intended to protect the people of the states of the Union against the federal government. That was the purpose. They didn't give us the Second Amendment to guard against England invading, crossing across the ocean again to invade this country and start another war. It's not to protect us against an invasion by illegal aliens or an invasion from the Red Chinese marching across the Bering Straits. They figured if you people got any brains and you're worth anything, you'll have brains enough to defend yourself from illegal invasions. You don't need a constitution to guarantee your right to protect yourself from foreign enemies. The purpose of the Bill of Rights, and particularly the Second Amendment, was to protect us from our national government. That was what it's for. And there's not a debate about it. That's not radical talk. It's not hyperbole. Look up Preamble to Bill of Rights. You can read it yourself. It's a brief document. It's something like the second paragraph tells you the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to prevent misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution. That's what it's for. What all of which tells us that the founders, the genius of the Constitution of the United States, is that it's an anti-government document. We've heard people tell us all our lives that it's intended to create limited government. Government doesn't want to be limited. All right, they want to get out there and do everything they want to do and make the taxpayers pay for it. They don't want limits. When we had a constitution that was to guarantee a limited government, that's an anti-government constitution. It's that purpose of limited government is contrary to a fundamental objective of virtually every government that's ever existed. You get into a position of power, it's human nature, you get into a position of power, and if you can exercise X number of so much power, you're always looking over the fence and saying, gee, what if I could do that? What if I could do that? What if I could do that?
Wouldn't you say that our currency backed by gold.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me finish. Really limited the government? I mean, that's...
They can't spin it out of thin air.
And
they have to be responsible.
That is why, everything is when we go back to the Federal Reserve and we talk about that and how they confiscated gold, how they limited gold from our payments, and because they were able to create all of these programs that allowed the government to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And
they don't
have to
pay
their
bills.
Even those, you'll hear Donald Trump talk about, he says there's no way we can go back to a gold standard. The government is too big. It has to collapse in order to do that. But the point is there's many that talk about it, or a few that talk about it, and few who talk about how important it is, but few talk about the reality of it and whether
it's a subject for another program. But, there are a lot of people said there's not enough gold to have a gold standard. Yes, sir. There's plenty. You might have to price it at $25,000 an ounce.
Well, it doesn't have to be
$50,000 an ounce. You might have to do that, but there's no reason why it can't be done. You could have, instead of having that little strip you have in your $1 bills and $100 bills and whatever, that little plastic strip, you could put a little strip in there that included, say, a gram of gold. A gram of gold. And you could value that gram, who knows, $500 a gram, maybe $1,000 a gram. It might be right there. It could be done. There's no reason why this can't be done. It's just a question at what price. There's plenty of gold for a gold-based currency. There's not enough at $35 an ounce. There's not enough at $1,500 an ounce. There's probably not enough at $10,000, maybe even $25,000 an ounce. But $25,000, maybe $50,000, yeah, we could have gold-based currency.
But in order to rein in the government, what you need to do is to have that gold-backed currency once again.
I agree.
And without
that. Because they can't spin it out of thin air. They can create these dollars and spend them all the time. They just care. Go print them up. It's like me writing a check that has no money in the bank to back it up. They just print these dollars and they go out and they spend them on something. They think it's stimulating the economy. The truth is they're getting things and they're not paying their own bills. And as a result of being able to write these blank checks that they never have to really redeem, the government can grow and grow and grow and grow, just as I could. If I could write an innumerable number of checks and never have to redeem them, I could own the house, I could own the car, I could own the city, I could own the state, I could own the world, ultimately. And so can government, if it can get away with this fiat currency. We're out of time for today. We will be back tomorrow. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, have a good evening, and we hope the good Lord blesses each of you. And me, and Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money.